You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Friday, February 14th. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
The average price of a gallon of 2% milk in Wisconsin, $3.10. That's actually down 3 cents from yesterday. However, the average price of a dozen large eggs in Wisconsin, $5.86. That's up a penny from yesterday and up considerably from last week.
Very much so. We had a 32-cent rise this week.
So that's where we are with the prices. We're not going to belabor that. Mm-hmm. But another little reminder before we get into the show, and we have lots of stuff coming up for you today. Brad Schlaikowski from Courage MKE is going to be joining us after the 10:30 news to talk about the LGBTQ plus community, which is the community that they serve, and their concerns now that we are under a second Trump administration.
Yep.
Also, next hour, after the 11 o'clock news, Linda McMahon, having her confirmation hearings yesterday, she has some experience with schools.
She has more experience with wrestling.
Much more experience with wrestling. But yes, let's put her in charge of the Department of Education. We will be talking about that after 11 o'clock. And then something Vivek Ramaswamy said.
Who?
I know. Can we call him former Doge?
He's Doge adjacent.
He's Doge adjacent. Yeah, he's not part of Doge anymore. I never understood why a government agency dedicated to efficiency had two heads. But they don't anymore.
No.
Vivek chiming in about what our kids need in schools.
Always got more opinions on the kids.
Yep.
The opinions are always of the times too. They're very, very modern opinions. Kids can really identify with them.
As we always do at 11:30, we lighten things up a little bit. We're going to talk about whether or not you dream about work. I certainly do.
I have.
Calvin, we'll get to you after 11:30. We would love to know if you dream about work and what those dreams are.
Yeah.
That will be at 11:30. We will wrap it all up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Patooey edition.
What's that again?
Patooey.
Patooey
edition. If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at Jane Says, JaneSays, Jane Says, at civicmedia.us. If you ever have a guest you think we should highlight on the show, some issue that's going on in your local community, I don't care how big or small, all across Wisconsin. And, of course, complaints. Please send them in. I read them all at Jane Says, JaneSays, at civicmedia.us. Well, after all the snow we had, we're not done yet. I was listening to you and Todd Alba this morning, filling in for Pat Kreitlow on Civic Media Mornings. Yeah, we got more snow coming. Brittany Merlot was on with you guys this morning. So it's supposed to start later on this afternoon. We do have a winter weather advisory kicking in southeastern Wisconsin from 6 p.m. tonight until 6 a.m. tomorrow. And it's expected to be pretty heavy at some times. So visibility might be an issue. 2 to 4 inches possible. Then we're going to have some more tomorrow. But tonight, I think, especially after work, as you head out of the office, maybe you can get out a little bit early, build in some extra time. Just please be patient and check 511wi.gov.
Yes.
Before you walk out the door. It's really a great resource that will show you every highway, every roadway in Wisconsin, what the conditions are and where all the accidents are. So please take advantage of it. It's free. It's 511wi.gov. And you can also download that as an app. One of the starts with an article in Wisconsin Public Radio, Joe Schultz has the byline, steel and aluminum tariffs to drive up costs for Wisconsin manufacturers. Home builders less impacted by metal tariffs are now bracing for possible tariffs on Canada and Mexico. Donald Trump, of course, says tariffs, the most beautiful word in the English language.
Yes, it
is. And the answer to all of our problems, apparently. Not everyone is welcoming these tariffs and expecting them to fix all our problems.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there are many, even manufacturers here in Wisconsin,
mm-hmm.
that are heavily dependent on items we get from other countries. Call the supply chain.
Yeah. We've had him on twice now, James Vanderloo, talking about the importance of, and we'll be having him on in the coming weeks, about how these tariffs affect Milwaukee companies. And one of the things he said that I will never forget was that the moment that Trump won, he was going to have to talk to companies about moving their companies to other countries, because they might be manufacturing in China. They might be but now he's putting tariffs on Canada, Mexico, China.
He's threatening Europe also.
He's threatening Europe. I mean, if it's unending, I mean, where is, except for bringing it back here, which is so expensive.
Well, and it would be a great thing, but that's not a weak fix.
Yeah.
We're talking about years in order mm-hmm. to build back our manufacturing to the point where we don't need imports from anybody else.
Yeah.
That's a great goal to shoot for.
Which I still think
it's not going to happen next month.
I don't think it's possible to get no imports.
Well, like, there are some things that we just don't have.
Yeah.
And especially when it comes to materials.
Yeah.
And mine materials and materials for cell phones and things like that. We just don't have them in this country.
Don't worry, Jane. Tariffs. Just say tariffs.
It's all going to fix it.
All fixed.
Earlier this week, Donald Trump imposed 25% tariffs on all steel and aluminum imports. According to Buckley Brinkman, who is the executive director of the Wisconsin Center for Manufacturing and Productivity, he said generally manufacturers work on a pretty thin margin. If the metal component is 40% of their cost of goods sold, they don't have the margin capability to absorb the new tariff. That will be passed along to consumers.
Wait a minute. That's not how tariffs work, Jane. Jane, tariffs work. The country charges, and the guy who's buying the stuff charges, and he pays it, and then I buy it at my regular price. That's what I was told. It's going to be fine.
That's not how it works.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me that someone lied to me?
That I would say yes. I would say
yes.
Oh,
boy, howdy.
Spokesperson for the Wisconsin Builders Association, Alicia Nalid, said in the construction industry, the steel and aluminum tariffs will primarily hit companies working on commercial or multifamily housing. This isn't necessarily a slap to the single family industry. They don't expect that those tariffs will continue to have a big impact on single family home building. But as she said, this is going to affect companies who work on commercial and multifamily housing developments. And we've talked about this repeatedly, about that's part of the crisis in this country is the lack of affordable housing.
Yes. And while it won't directly affect single family homes, the price of building materials like lumber have gone up exponentially since the pandemic. So it's price hikes are going to affect everybody, but this one specifically is going to hit a specific market
sector,
but it's still going to cost a lot of money, which means the materials cost a lot of money. Construction costs a lot of money. That means these homes might not be available to regular Joe and John Q public.
Well, and think about it as well, that if the price of the materials go up, this means the companies won't be able to afford as many workers.
Yep.
Which in turn will slow down the work.
Yep.
Seems bad.
Seems like the not right thing to do.
Seems bad. She also said Donald Trump's announcement creates even more uncertainty for companies who are navigating international trade. Tariffs are a tax that drive up costs for consumers. And we've talked to this with other business people in the past. You know what business loves is uncertainty.
Yeah.
They just love not knowing what's coming and how their bottom line is going to be in the next 3 months. Nobody loves that more than business.
And the bigger the business, the more chaos they love.
Oh, they do.
Yeah.
It's just so good for business.
Shareholders love not knowing things.
25% tariffs on imports from Mexico and Canada expected to kick in next month. Canada and Mexico, by the way, Wisconsin's biggest trade partners. Canada bought $8.5 billion worth of Wisconsin exports in 2023. And Mexico bought $4.3 billion in state imports. This could have a big hit, again, on single-family home builders, a bigger impact than even the steel and aluminum tariffs.
And that's just one specific tariff.
Just one area.
Mm-hmm. And we're bringing it down to where you live, folks. This is a nationwide thing, but this comes down to Wisconsin. How does it affect your pocketbook? How does it affect what you're buying? How does it affect, you know, if you work in this industry in Wisconsin? Someone explain to me why tariffs are beautiful, why they're the grand fix. Explain to me like I'm a 10-year-old, because I don't get it, how and why you're so excited about this.
Our brains just aren't big enough.
They're not. No, they're rotting away with liberal talking points.
CEO of Molson Coors, Gavin Hattersley, answered questions about tariffs during an earnings call earlier this week on metal tariffs. He says Molson has made changes to how it sources aluminum, and it now sources all aluminum used in products made for U.S. consumption from the U.S., which is great.
Yep.
Again, not every company has the ability to do that, and not all of these items can be made here or mined here.
Yeah, I mean, Michelle Tressler, who is one of the co-founders and co-owners of Hinterland Brewing in Green Bay, she was on Civic Media Morning with Dr. Lyerly on Wednesday, and they talked specifically about this point. She said that the aluminum tariffs affects every single can of beer they brew. Every time they fill a can up, they pay a tax, they pay a tariff on those cans, and they have to then eventually pass those costs on to the customers.
Yes.
So it's your Molson Coors, that's great. You can afford to do that, but not every brewery in America can do that. And people love their craft beer.
And we're already seeing a lot of craft breweries going out of business.
Oh my goodness, this gracious.
This isn't going to help them stay alive.
No. No, but it's beautiful, Jane. Just deal with it. Accept it. It's going to fix everything.
We're waiting.
I'm waiting.
Hey, and once it does fix it, everything, we'll be the first ones to be crowing about it. I would love to come on air with great news.
Yes.
I really, really would. So if you have great news, and please just don't say that, hey, we cut $85 billion from the government. I want to see some documentation to back that up, as just opposed to Elon said it. Yeah, that's not quite good enough.
Show your work.
We have more on the way, including, oh, go away. Could you please just go away? You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Just don't know what else to do about it.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Beck, Greg Bach.
There it is.
Is that how you... Yeah, that's right.
It's kind of a famous last name, but you know, whatever.
And Caliente on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After the 10:30 news, Brad Schlykowski from Courage MKE will be joining us to talk about what's going on and what he's hearing from the LGBTQ plus community. A lot of concern, I am sure. We'll be talking to Brad about that. After 11 o'clock, Department of Education, Linda McMahon, very experienced in wrestling, slightly less experienced in education.
You can stone-cold stunner the problem with education. You get in there and be like, I'm going to tombstone you. Mm-hmm. Bah, 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 bah.
Ah! I'm not even sure what to do with that, but I like it. I like it. I stumbled on this, and I think this is important for us to keep in mind, because when is the gubernatorial election?
Who cares? Next month. Next year.
Next year.
Next year.
Not the gubernatorial. Yeah, the gubernatorial election is next year.
Next year.
Evers still waffling on whether or not he is going to run for yet another term.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Lake Sitting, axe-throwing California banker guy Eric Hovde.
You forgot loser.
Oh, that too. Again, cites debunked claims in questioning his 2024 election loss to Tammy Baldwin. This from Lawrence Andrea in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. In a video posted on Twitter this week, Eric Hovde raising doubts about the processing of absentee ballots in Milwaukee and criticizing same-day voter registration. Hovde claimed, without providing specifics, that's an important sentence.
Show your work.
Hovde claimed, without providing specifics, that a lot has come out since the election. Has it?
It has?
Where?
When?
A lot of people are very upset about what happened that night as it pertains to my race and feel that I may have been robbed. California guy lost his Senate bid against Tammy Baldwin by more than 29,000 votes, a little less than one percentage point. Let's not forget he refused to concede until almost 2 weeks later. Never called Tammy Baldwin
to
concede.
In a video.
Yeah, he did it in a video.
Where he was also whining, whining, sniffling, crying little loser boy who just couldn't deal with the fact that
He lost. And we didn't just feel like you get to have it because you're a wealthy white guy.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, and also for the fact, I do care that there's an election. I'm just tired.
We're all tired.
But yeah, he lost. That's it. The GOP has moved out. I don't hear hide nor hair of Brian Schimming, Robin Voss, Reince Priebus, none of the higher ups in the Wisconsin GOP are
screeching about this,
screeching, waving their finger. It's just Eric Hovde in California in the sunlight.
But see, that's not what's important.
What's important?
What's important is that Eric Hovde comes out now with this. So for the next however many months, up until the gubernatorial election, he can start planting this seed. That's what this is about.
So I guess because one thing we did learn from the Hovde campaign, I just like to say Hovde campaign, is he is great at campaigning. I mean, he is so personable and human-like, and his ad campaigns are so full of joy and excitement. If he comes to Wisconsin, to the people of Wisconsin, with this on his plate of saying, like, well, I didn't win the Senate race because it was taken from me.
Cheated.
So now I want to be your governor. Do you think the people of Wisconsin even want, like, I don't think that the Republican Party is going to allow him to be uncontested if he runs. I think that there will be a primary for governor. I don't think the GOP are going to want him.
Why?
Because he's
going to do exactly what they want, which is what they want.
They can find other people to do it with less baggage and less whining. He's a bad campaign. They need someone of Wisconsin to shake hands with the people and really be there. He's not good at it. There are other people they can find who will do exactly what they want.
But what sets Eric Hovde apart is that he can help finance his own campaign, which is why they tagged him in the first place.
But he financed up to a point.
But still, that's better than some average folk in Wisconsin who don't have millions in the bank to throw into their own campaigns. That's why they tagged him for this in the first place, because he has money.
I don't think they're going to tag a regular person. I think they'll find someone similar to Hovde who's just better at this than he is, because it was his race to lose, and he lost it.
At the time, Hovde said he was shocked by the reporting of Milwaukee's absentee ballot results in the early mornings after Election Day. Little side thing here, Eric. Mm. Under Wisconsin law, and I'll say this slowly, absentee ballots can't be processed before 7 a.m. on Election Day. Republican-controlled state Senate in Wisconsin last year refused to take up legislation making it possible for clerks to start processing those ballots the day before the election and then finish counting all of the votes earlier on Election Day. So you can thank Robin Voss and Devin Lemahieu and Tom Tiffany and all those guys in the Wisconsin legislature, the Republicans, who refused to do something about this so they can come back to it and say, see, something hinky was going on.
Milwaukee.
See.
Milwaukee is just a hotbed of voter fraud.
Well,
for one thing, it isn't. Even, you know who said that? Ron Johnson said that.
Oh.
Last year when he went down to the central station and saw the counting and saw there wasn't a problem, he said there wasn't a problem. But you don't want to solve the problem. This goes beyond Eric Hoofdy. This is the problem of the GOP in Wisconsin. They don't want to solve the problem. If they solve the problem, then it's a problem they can't whine about like sniffling little babies. Eric Hoofdy, on the other hand, I mean, I think that this is this. I don't disagree that this will be his tactic. He's going to say, I didn't get my way, so now I want this. I just don't know if Wisconsin will buy it from him and of the Republicans.
We still have people who believe the 2020 election was stolen from Donald Trump. Of course this is going to work. He's taking it directly out of Trump's playbook, saying, I was robbed. I was cheated. We're going to hear this for months and months and months. Mark my words, leading up to the next gubernatorial election. We are just about out of time. Sorry.
There's precedence. Carrie Lake. All right.
News coming up next. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Vast Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calviente on the board, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after 11 o'clock, we're going to talk about Linda McMahon. Lots of experience in pro wrestling, less experience in education. She wants to be the head of the Department of Education. Some interesting things came out during yesterday's hearing. And also, Vivek Ramaswamy has an idea for our kids in school that is somewhat reminiscent of an earlier program from someone on the other side of the political aisle that was not necessarily received with a lot of warmth, shall we say.
Yeah.
That's after the 11 o'clock news. Right now, we are welcoming on the phone, Brad Schlykowski is one of the co-founders of Courage MKE, Courage Milwaukee. Good morning, Brad. How are you doing? Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. For folks who don't know, Brad, give us a little background of Courage Milwaukee and why you started and what your mission is.
Sure. My husband and I started Courage MKE almost 10 years ago because we were foster parents, and the kids we were fostering were teenagers, and they all came with similar stories of torment and rejection from group homes, foster homes, and other parts of being within the system. So in 2019, we opened Wisconsin's first group home for displaced LGBT youth that are in the social welfare system. And then last year, we opened a second house for those same kids that are aging out or already experiencing homelessness.
It's a bigger problem than most people realize.
It's a huge problem. They say of the amount of kids on the streets, 40% identify as homeless or as LGBT. I'm sorry.
And this is because either their families have rejected them, I assume.
A lot of them are on, like 50% of the kids that come through our facilities are because their families rejected them, or they would have just been in the system because of neglect.
Which is so heartbreaking.
It's gut-wrenching.
It is. And I'm sure there may be some kids who've had good experiences moving through the foster system, but I don't think anyone considers that an ideal situation. And unfortunately, like you said, Brad, there comes a point with these kids, they age out of the system and you have to leave. And they're not necessarily equipped to deal with adulthood.
Not equipped at all. You know, the average length of stay in a group home, and that's kids ages 12 to 17, is 38 days right? So every 38 days, they're being moved for some reason. Now imagine being a child that's been in the system since you're an infant, and you've been through foster homes, and then you get to the point where you're not a baby, so the foster homes always want babies, so you're going into group homes, and every 38 days, you're being moved because someone didn't like something that you did or said. It's so sad.
Well, and it's got to be, I can't imagine how difficult it is to not only establish a caring trust. I mean, just to set up a caring, trusting relationship, you don't even have enough time to establish those emotional bonds almost.
You don't have any time. That's why we're so proud that our average length of stay is around 230 days right now.
That's amazing.
So tell us, when your kids leave, and they're not kids anymore, they're young adults, but what kinds of stories have you heard from them once they've moved on from you?
You know, we have a handful of them that keep coming back. My staff look at that as the biggest compliment of love, because it's still a safe place for them, right? They don't have very many of those. A lot of them don't go back to their parents to visit. A lot of their stories are, I'm sorry, I was a jerk while I lived here, right? Because they grew up some and they had that self-realization. But a lot of their stories are, it's hard, right? Because you're in a system, you know, I had the privilege of having parents that taught me about finances, budgeting. You have to be responsible. You have to get a job. You need to know how to clean the toilet. And these kids didn't necessarily have that. So when they're at our house, we talk about financing. We talk about needing to have a job. We have chores every day and every weekend to make sure that they're prepared to be responsible young adults.
I'm just curious. So, Brad, how do you deal with the kids who's like, it's your turn to do the dishes tonight? And he says, nope, I'm not doing it. So how do you handle that? Or is it a case by case basis?
It is a case by case. That's the tricky part of operating in a trauma-informed environment, right? Because everyone has different triggers. Everyone has different things that are going to set them off. I'll say that I don't know any person ages 12 to 17 that wants to wash the dishes. I can't even get my own kids at my own house to wash the dishes some days. So a lot of times it's not even about having trauma. It's about being a regular teenager. And that's one of our biggest missions is, folks have this mindset that anyone that lives in a group home is a quote unquote bad person, right? These kids have two things in common. They didn't ask to be there and they don't want to be there, right? So having that said, and then being bounced around like no one cares. And then you add where we're at in the world right now, where these children are literally wards of the state. Well, the state is the government, and though a different branch of government, the government right now is trying to erase half the kids that live in our house by saying transgender people don't exist. So these kids know that the people that are controlling and make decisions about their lives are our government, and the government is erasing them from existence.
Brad,
put that in your head as adults and try to process that, because I don't even know how to explain it to them.
Well, that actually, so I run an event on Wednesdays, and we have a trans woman who comes in for it. And I just kind of said, Willina, how you doing? And she said, I'd be great if my government wasn't trying to work against me actively. And like, I'm thinking about that. And she is an adult processing America right now. What are the young trans kids process? How are they processing this situation right now? With everything going on in their immediate world, but then also in the U.S. scale.
Well, I don't know if y'all know anything about Gen Z, Gen Y, and Gen Alpha.
We've had worse.
Brad, are you telling me that young children are upset about things?
They're upset. They're afraid. They don't know what to do. I mean, and they're the same words that I would use to explain my own feelings right now. You know, yesterday. Mm-hmm. A national historic landmark, the Stonewall Inn, mm-hmm. which is operated now under the National Park System, went through their entire website and took the T out of LGBT of the Stonewall Inn, of which transgender people were some of the first people to throw a brick through that window and start the riots that give us the rights we have today.
Yeah.
It's astonishing to me that they assume that by removing a word from popular lexicon is going to make it disappear. That's like taking the word climate out of our scientific documents. If we just don't, if we don't say it, then therefore it does not exist. That's Looney Tunes.
I agree with you. Just as loony as, you're okay with renaming a body of water, but you can't use someone's pronouns or preferred name? Because it's been the Gulf of Mexico since the 1500s.
Yeah, yeah. I made a comment to Jane today saying these are the same people who say, don't take down the monuments and the flags. It's about our history. Well, it's your selective history.
We're very selective now.
I love you guys.
If you're just joining us, Brad Schlaikowski is our guest. He's one of the co-founders of Courage Milwaukee, Courage MKE, and they provide a safe place and housing for kids who have either aged out or are going to be aging out of the foster care system and directed towards the LGBTQ plus community. I can't imagine what it's like, Brad, trying to reassure these kids, because as you said, this is you're an adult and you're worried about the same things.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're kind of implementing the same mindset that I have at my own home. Right now, I come to work and I talk about this nonstop for the last 3 weeks, right? When I get home, I see my husband. We didn't see each other all day, and we give each other 1 hour. 1 hour to just vent and rehash this, what's happening through the day. And then after that hour, we're focusing on our kids. We're focusing on dinner. We're focusing on life. Because if we don't purposely make time to remember the good, it's just going to consume us. And 4 years is a really long time.
And honestly, that kind of, that can also have an effect that takes a toll on your children too. They see that, they see it wearing you down. They see what affects your attitude and your well-being. And they might think, well, that's how our dads process information. That's how I got to process. That's a very smart way, Brad, of looking at it, is like giving yourself that moment, because that's your self-care. And then that leads out to family care. And I think that's something we talk to people about on this show all the time, is that we know it's tough. We know everyone's going through hard things. Take those moments you need to take. Do that. Exactly. And then get back up and keep going with what you're doing, because you can't stop.
And doing that also rubs off the right way too, because my son is 6. Their Valentine's Day party is today. He was at school yesterday and another child said, that's gay to give another boy a Valentine. And my son said, no, it's not. It costs nothing to make somebody happy.
Oh, and he's 6?
6. So, I'm going to raise my little activist and keep raising him to love people.
Darn right.
Because that's what we need every day.
Because that's the thing, though. He responded back with love. Yeah. A lot of little boys don't respond with love. They respond with other things, or they don't respond at all. But that was, love it.
I'm curious too, Brad, and unfortunately I'm already anticipating that your response is not going to be what I'm hoping for. Do families ever have a change of heart?
They do. We actually launched new programming at Courage last year that's community facing. It's called Plus You. And part of that are groups. It's not a regular support group like blah, blah, like we all think about. Mm-hmm. We're creating safe spaces for anyone that has LGBT kids in their life, parents, aunts, uncles, coaches, teachers, etc., to come and ask the questions that are in their head without judgment, right? Because I feel like if we create spaces for these people to tell us what they've heard or what someone has told them that has created some sort of mindset, we can change their mind. We have seen kids from the Courage House go back home because we were able to work with them and their parents so that everyone understood who they are. I understand, I have that conversation with the kids, like, you came out to your mom, your dad is trans. That's an adjustment for them. And yes, their reaction in the perfect world would be like, I love you, I love you, I love you.
Right.
But we have to teach them too.
Well, and I think it's so important, Brad, that you said that you're creating a safe space where they can ask questions, because I think some of the backlash against the wokeness, and I put that in quotation marks, was I can't ask a question because if I ask a question, it might be offensive because I don't understand. Right. So therefore I can't ask anything, and that doesn't help.
Right. It doesn't help. And we're in a time right now where we need to be those people to help. because like I said, 4 years is a long time.
It's already been a long.
It's been 3 weeks.
Yeah. Wait, you're telling me it hasn't been 4 years already? I feel like I'm 80.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We're going to continue our conversation with Brett Schlakowsky from Courage Milwaukee. If you have a question, text it in at 855-752-4842. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck. The Board Lord coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk continues to actively ruin. After the 11 o'clock news, we're going to be talking about schools. Department of Education, Linda McMahon had her confirmation hearing yesterday. Some interesting questions brought up.
She's going to body slam all the problems that come to her office.
That's right, she is. And remember Vivek Ramaswamy? Vivek's back. He was co-leader of DOGE for, a week and a half? That didn't last very long. Now he's chiming in on what schools need to do to help our kids. And it sounds shockingly like a suggestion that came from an earlier administration that was excoriated by Republicans. Shocking, I know. We'll kick that around next hour.
That's a great word, excoriated.
Excoriating? Do I get a point for that? Like
you
a
get
star
like four points for that.
Oh, yay. Our guest is Brad Schlakowsky. He is the co-founder of Courage Milwaukee, located in Milwaukee. Great website, by the way, if you would like to find out more. It's couragemke.org. We will include that in our show notes. Brad, I wanted to ask you about your funding and whether or not under this second Trump administration now you are concerned about any funding sources getting cut off.
So that's a good question. I don't know. Right now, we're very grateful that we're not reliant on any federal funding. We have an incredible, our mission at Courage is to create a movement, right? Even though we offer housing, it's not about housing, but it's to create a movement. And all of our donors, we call them all Courage family. And we have this huge Courage family that are supporting us. So as of right now, we've been trying to over the last few years get federal money, but right now there's kind of a deep sigh, a big deep breath that we're not. Yeah. Dependent on it, but we are seeing smaller grant providers sending out emails saying we're putting a pause or a moratorium on funding because we don't know what direction we're going right now. Yeah. So I am expecting to see some drop in funding this year, just not as bad as some of our peers out in the nonprofit world.
Well, and certainly, again, because already you're not dependent on federal money, which I'm sure is challenging in and of itself. But at this point, I'd probably say you're in a slightly better position than many other organizations who are dependent on those federal dollars.
Yeah,
I'd say you're right. Yep.
For the people who are, for the people who do support Courage MKE, I'm assuming not all of them are members of the LGBTQ plus community. There must be straight people who support you.
There is a lot of straight people that support us. You know, that's what the movement's about. You know, when we started, Nick and I were going to every gay bar that we could think of that would let us talk about it to educate our own community first. But we knew in order to survive, we needed to expand beyond that. And there are some amazing humans, you know, this last year and really this year, we're focusing on getting out of Milwaukee. And that's why we're changing our name to Courage Plus in a couple of months here to make sure that we're covering and providing services to LGBT youth across the state and maybe into Minnesota and Illinois a little bit. But that's going back to that education piece, right? We want the non-LGBT community to be joining us in this fight. The LGBT community is screaming right now against this administration, and it's clear they're not listening. It's our allies that are the ones that are going to help us take this movement and make sure that we stay safe over the next 4 years. So the more allies we can find, the better.
You speak of education on that one, Brad. Moving out of Milwaukee where it's, I don't want to say easy, but it's easier on the education front. People have maybe more open minds, more people in their lives who are in part of the queer community. If you're looking at like Western, Northern, Southern Wisconsin, who are you reaching out to and this is, I'm sure, whether they're in the community or an ally, who do you reach out to help with that initial education of those individuals in the community to say, this is what we're doing. This is why we need your help, or at the very least, need your support.
Sure. Well, we created a line item in our budget this year to have satellite Courage employees across each quadrant of the state. So we're working with LGBT community centers across the state so that we can take our Plus U programming, which is that community group setting and education piece to each quadrant of the state so that we can hold these groups and have local people understand the local people.
So important. Conversations
with them.
Yeah, that's so important, Brad.
That's the part that the funding, any funding that, like, that's the part we need help to fund, right? Because we added it to our budget, was never part of our budget, but we know it's so crucial across the state to get this education out there.
Well, and much like we've talked with different Democratic organizers, it's so important to have someone from within that community to be the one who is bringing the message, because otherwise you're seen as an outsider and you don't understand how things work here. And so I think that's really, really wise. We're just about out of time, Brad. We will put a link to couragemke.org in our show notes. If anyone wants to make a donation and help support your mission, they can do that via your website, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if you take a look at our socials, we launched our Embrace LGBTQ Youth yard signs yesterday. So go ahead and get one of those and we can get those out across the state.
Fabulous. Thanks. Brad Schlichowski, one of the co-founders of Courage Milwaukee. Thank you so much, Brad. Take care. We will have you back on soon.
Thank you. I love you guys. Bye.
Bye-bye.
See you, Brad.
News coming up next. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.